The professor is in the house. Professor Jack Guttentag, emeritus professor at Wharton School of Business and Mortgage, and the mortgage professor, which he's morphed into, and you can find him online at mtgprofessor.com, and that's an abbreviation for mortgageprofessor.com, mtgprofessor.com. He was formerly Professor Jacob Soffer, Professor of International Banking at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. He was chief of the Domestic Research Division of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, on the senior staff of the National Bureau of Economic Research, managing editor of both the Journal of Finance and the House Finance Review. But he's basically been a student of the home loan market for many years, and he served as a consultant to the Department of Housing and Development. And he worked with Citicorp, USAID, Freddie Mac, BankShares, the World Bank, J.P. Morgan Securities, and he's been the director of the Teachers Insurance Annuity Association. In 1997, Professor Guttentag began to focus his efforts more on fully helping consumers navigate the home loan market effectively. And we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of his suggestions, and then get into the reverse mortgage column that he's working on now. He does. He began writing a weekly column on mortgages. It's nationally syndicated by Tribune News Services. And he began the development of his website, mortgageprofessor.com, but it's mtgprofessor.com. And the purpose is to help consumers make better decisions. And he published a couple of books, The Pocket Mortgage Guide in 2003 and The Mortgage Encyclopedia in 2004, and all published by McGraw-Hill. He first came on the program in 2006. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Professor Jack Guttentag.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Now, that was one of the longest introductions I've done in the last 20 years. And is it because you're so, you have such great credibility, or you're just so old that you've accumulated so much work?
Hopefully both. The age is something you have nothing, no control over. Your accomplishments during the years that you have are whatever they turn out to be.
Well,
I don't usually hear my curriculum vitae being spoken so eloquently over the radio, but it was a pleasure to listen.
Well, you deserve it, and I got to tell you, I'm so impressed. You were born a year earlier than my mom. My mom is still kicking. She was born in 24. You were born in 23, and you're still writing, and you're still passionate about helping consumers navigate through the home loan market. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things, but do you have no intention of slowing down? You just keep working.
Well, it all goes back to decisions that you make early in life as to what you like to do, and if you find what you like to do, and you can find someone who's willing to pay you to do it, you keep at it. There's no reason why you should stop if you're doing what you want to do.
I love it. Now, a buddy of mine in town went to Wharton School, Bob Stevens. Does that name ring a bell? Was he in your class?
No, I don't remember, but of course that doesn't mean anything.
And then, you've probably forgotten more than most people know. And then Professor Peter Fader, F-A-D-E-R, Fader, did you know him?
No.
I can't even remember why I wrote that down. Somebody's son or uncle or somebody. But I had a trivia question last week about what the typical residential mortgage terms were before the creation of Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac, and we'll have a little loose definition of why they were created. And it was back in the 30s, and the answer was 50% down with a 10-year payoff. And what's scary is you were 10 years old at the time. You could have had your folks buy a house with 50% down in a 10-year payoff.
Well, actually, they did. My parents' first house, when we moved to New Jersey from New York, was purchased when I was four, which was 1927. It indeed had a 10-year term, and they had to put 40% down. and there was no amortization. They paid interest only, and at the end of the 10 years, they had to pay off the balance or refinance. And fortunately, they were able to do that, but a lot of people were not able to do it because the in the Depression years. So,
which did they do? Did they pay it off or refinance?
In all honesty, I don't remember. I don't know.
But how do you even know this story? At age four, this happened.
Well, because I was told how old I was when we moved into a house. We had been living in an apartment in Brooklyn. And my mother and father wanted to raise children in a more suburban setting rather than in an apartment house. So they moved to Englewood, where there was a new house development, and they bought our house.
Do you remember how much it was?
It was something like $20,000. A lot of money in those days.
That's a fortune. When I was looking back at homes in tract homes in early the 60s in Santa Barbara, and $20,000 was the price. So to go back to 1927, man,
yeah,
that's a fortune. So you at age 14, I imagine you were giving them advice. When did you first realize you? When did you first started advising people and get your toe in the water into lending and economic and finance?
Well, that didn't occur until a lot later. You know, I had to go to college, and then I was pulled out of college to serve in the Army for 3 years in the European theater. Came home in 46, went back to school, got my degree. Then I went to graduate school, Columbia, for a year. Took a year out to see whether I wanted to teach. I taught for a year in a small college in upstate New York. Decided that that was my thing and went back to Columbia to get my finish my PhD.
Was the college in upstate New York, was it Oneonta?
No, it was Elmira College.
Elmira? It sounds like a song we have. Oh, no, that's Elvira. She's the Theater of the Dark, Mistress of the Dark. So let's get into this Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. They come around and they change everything. And they were created for that purpose, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, they came along at different times. Fannie Mae was started in 1939, so it goes way back. And the reason it was started was because the FHA, which had been created in 1934, was having a great deal of difficulties in inducing lenders to accept them. They just had no confidence whatever in the insurance function that the government had instilled in FHA. And so Fannie Mae was actually started for the purpose of assuring lenders that if they made an FHA loan, there would be a place where they could sell it. They could sell the loan to Fannie Mae. So they were a backstop.
And this was the first time this has ever happened? Be able to, you know, the secondary market, reselling loans? Or I wonder if that happened prior.
There have always been individual transactions between lenders, but nothing very much.
Okay.
They're case-by-case transactions. There had to be a lot of trust between the seller and the buyer. It was with the advent of Fannie Mae that a continually functioned secondary market opened up, and a new kind of loan originator developed.
And that probably assisted in the, when you said you went to war, return in 46, and there was a huge flux of building and people coming back and buying homes. So did Fannie Mae created 39, that help open the floodgates for home ownership?
They did. And it what it did was to stimulate the creation of a new industry that we call mortgage banking, which are firms that originate loans for sale. They are not portfolio lenders. Prior, if you go back before Fannie Mae, all the mortgage lenders were what are called portfolio lenders, meaning when they wrote a mortgage, they held it for as long as it took to get paid off or refinanced. But with this new secondary market facility, it was possible to start a new firm with not a lot of capital and originate loans for sale. So that was a new industry, and of course it's one that's still with us today.
Survived today. So the 1939 creation of
right.
Of,
now
of...
Freddie Mac had an entirely different history. Fannie Mae had made possible this new industry of mortgage companies, but it wasn't much used by the savings loan industry. And the savings and loans wanted their own secondary market facilities, and they got it in Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac was originally instituted to buy mortgages from savings and loan associations. So you had these two agencies that were directed toward different types of loan originators. Now, that arrangement gradually broke down over subsequent years, and eventually both Fannie and Freddie were open to doing business with any originator who met their standards. So the identification of Fannie with one industry and Freddie with another industry went by the boards. So you had two secondary market agencies essentially doing the same kind of business with anybody that they felt met their standards.
Their standards and criteria. Yeah. Now, you said Fannie Mae introduced in 1939. Do you remember when Freddie Mac came about?
I don't have the date on that offhand. It was somewhere in the 60s, I believe.
Okay, so quite a long time before.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. And then, of course, your comment that they eventually morphed into their own standards instead of just being specific to FHA and the savings and loan. And then,
that immediately raised the question, well, they're doing the same thing. Why do we need two of them? Why isn't one enough? And that's a question that's still being asked.
And the standards, I imagine, were these standards not to blame, but did people complain or blame in the debacle of 2008 that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loosen their standards too much? Was that connection?
That claim has been made, and it is well justified. But the loosening of the standards was not the doing of the agencies; it was the doing of Congress. Congress had the idea that these being federal government agencies that were operating in effect on government credit because their obligations were guaranteed by the federal government, they should have an obligation to meet the needs of less fortunate, less advantaged, and lower income people.
Less qualified.
Less qualified goes with it. And they imposed, the Congress imposed a requirement that a specified percentage of the loans that they purchased had to be on, had to be loans that were directed toward these relatively disadvantaged groups.
Right.
And that, that percentage kept going up and up. And eventually it got to the point where they couldn't meet it in their normal purchase programs, so the agencies went into the market and bought subprime subprime mortgages in the form of securities to meet these targets. And of course, that's what that led to their undoing.
The avalanche. Yeah. My guest is Professor Jack Guttentag, and he's finance history background, emeritus professor, Wharton School of Business, but he's morphed into focusing on the development of his website, mortgageprofessor.com, and that's mtgprofessor.com. And he's written a couple of books, and he's looking to helping consumers navigate the home loan market effectively. You have two, you wrote an article recently about two things, about appraisals or appraisers and appraisals, and also title insurance. And what I'd like to do is take a quick break and, you know, Jack is, you're going to be 95 this year, right?
Yes.
So I don't, do you need to get some oxygen during the commercial break? You're okay.
Okay.
You are doing, you're as strong as people half your age. It's just so impressive. And of course, at age four in 1927, he was advising his parents on their home loan purchase in New Jersey with a 10-year term and 40% down. So he started at an early age. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break and come back more. The professor is in the house.